February 6th, The Daily Stoic. I don't agree with those who plunge headlong into the middle of the flood and who, accepting a turbulent life, struggle daily in great spirit with difficult circumstances. The wise person will endure that, but won't choose it, choosing to be at peace rather than at war. Seneca, Moral Letters, 28.7. It has become a cliché to quote Theodore Roosevelt's Man in the Arena speech, which lionizes the one whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, compared with the critic who sits on the sidelines. Roosevelt gave that speech shortly after he left office, at the height of his popularity. In a few years, he would run against his former protege in an attempt to retake the White House, losing badly and nearly assassinated in the process. He would also nearly die exploring a river in the Amazon, kill thousands of animals in African safaris, and then beg Woodrow Wilson to allow him to enlist in World War I despite being 59 years old. He would do a lot of things that seem somewhat baffling in retrospect. Theodore Roosevelt was a truly great man, but he was also driven by a compulsion, a work and activity addiction that was seemingly without end. Many of us share this affliction, being driven by something we can't control. We're afraid of being still. So we seek our strife and action as a distraction. We choose to be at war, in some cases literally, when peace is in fact the more honorable and fitting choice. Yes, the man in the arena is admirable, as is the soldier and the politician and the businesswoman and all the other occupations, but, and this is a big but, only if we're in the arena for the right reasons. A Year with C.S. Lewis. Father and Son. We must think of the Son always, so to speak, streaming forth from the Father, like light from a lamp, or heat from a fire, or thoughts from a mind. He is the self-expression of the Father, what the Father has to say, and there never was a time when he was not saying it. But have you noticed what is happening? All these pictures of light or heat are making it sound as if the Father and Son were two things instead of two persons. So that, after all, the New Testament picture of a Father and Son turns out to be much more accurate than anything we try to substitute for it. That is what always happens when you go away from the words of the Bible. It is quite right to go away from them for a moment in order to make some special point clear, but you must always go back. Naturally, God knows how to describe himself much better than we know how to describe him. He knows that Father and Son is more like the relation between the first and second persons than anything else we can think of. Much of the most important thing to know is that it is a relation of love. The Father delights in his Son. The Son looks up to his Father. From Mere Christianity. Jesus calling. Come to him and rest. He is all around you to bless and restore. Breathe him in with each breath. The way just ahead of you is very steep. Slow down and cling tightly to his hand. He is teaching you a difficult lesson learned only by hardship. Lift up empty hands of faith to receive his precious presence. Light, life, joy, and peace flow freely through this gift. When your focus turns away from him, you grasp for other things. You drop the glowing gift of his presence as you reach for lifeless ashes. Return to him. Regain his presence. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:28-30. through 29. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. 1 Timothy 2:8.